Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to part 8 in our series on the three P's of our profession. And as you'll remember, the three P's of our profession are number 1, preaching, and that means preaching the gospel throughout all the world. Second, it is preparing. It's preparing those who respond to the gospel to help them to grow up into the full maturity of Jesus Christ, learning to think and feel and act as Jesus Christ did while He was here on this earth, and how He does now as He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. And then the third P of our profession is providing. Providing for people in need. Now, we were talking about the gospel of Christ. This is the good news that Christ proclaimed. And we should not be ashamed of this gospel. We should preach this gospel boldly, and we should consider it a great honor to represent God, to speak the same message that Christ spoke, which He has entrusted to all of His faithful believers. And we were reading in Romans, the first chapter, and verses 16 through 32. In fact, in the last two programs, we've been reading about it. And in the last program, we left off talking about the evils of homosexuality. People that practice homosexuality are the ones committing shameful acts. Now, it is not to say that God hates homosexuals. It is not to say that I hate homosexuals. God loves homosexuals, and I love homosexuals. What that means is I love the person. Now, how can I love that person? Because God has given me a love for people who are homosexuals. But the act of homosexuality, that's what needs to cease. That's what needs to be repented of. That's what needs to be overcome. That's what needs to be turned away from, so that people no longer are practicing homosexuality, and therefore they no longer are homosexuals. And this is not hate speech. This is love speech. Because I love you, I am warning you that your actions will take you straight to hell if you do not repent of it. And if you want eternal life, living in utopia, then you need to repent and believe the gospel. This is your gospel to save you from death and bring you into life. But you know what? There's lots of people that speak against homosexuality, and rightfully so. But you know what? In a lot of these congregations, you have people that will speak against homosexuality, but they don't say anything against fornication, which is having sex before marriage. And why is that? Because many of the ministers, that's right, many of the ministers, and you know who you are, many of the ministers are committing fornication, and many of the people sitting in the congregation are committing fornication on a regular basis. I am amazed. I have friends. I have relatives who will say that they are Christian, and yet they are practicing fornication. They are having sex before marriage, and people will say stupid things like, "Oh, well, we're engaged. God knows we're going to be married, so it doesn't make any difference if we have sex before we're married. God knows that we're going to be married. It's just like we've already been joined together. It's just a matter of a couple of days or a couple of weeks." That's foolishness. God defines fornication as sex before marriage, period. Also, people will say things like, "Oh, well, I'm not going to wear any shoes before I try them on," saying that I'm not going to take on a wife before I try her out sexually. That's also perverted. That's sick thinking. And if you have that type of thinking, you need to repent. Because again, that type of thinking and those types of actions will lead you straight to death, to hell, eternal death. And since I love you, I want you to repent of your sins. So this is one of the things that God says, is that he's against fornication. He doesn't hate fornicators. He loves fornicators, people who are committing fornication. He loves the person. He hates what they're doing. He wants those people to repent so that they are no longer committing fornication, so that they are no longer fornicators. So God loves everybody and is willing to forgive us of our sins. We just need to recognize them as sins, and we need to repent of them and turn away from them, which is what repentance means, and turn toward doing the right thing. All right? But that's not all to it. Listen, some people will say things like, you know, these kids walking around with their baggy pants hanging off of their butts, that these people, you know, they're just thugs. They're just hood rats. They're criminals. And yes, maybe there are a number of criminals that dress like that. But you know what? You can't say to people, well, you should stop dressing like that because that's criminal dress. Are you going to tell somebody that dresses in a white shirt, a red tie, and a blue suit that they should stop wearing that? Well, if you're going to tell kids they should stop wearing that kind of baggy pants hanging off of their butts because that's hoodlum type wear, well, listen to me. Who are the people that steal the most money? It's your corporate executives, like the head of WorldCom. I mean, this is bizarre type stuff that people can accuse kids who might commit petty theft, and that's wrong. That's a sin. That'll end you up in hellfire just as sure as anything else if those people don't repent of it. But it's hypocritical to say, well, we will just kind of overlook the white-collar crime that people in their white shirts and red ties and blue suits, the red, white, and blue good old Americans, are doing. Those people are more wicked than the others because they harm many more people. How many people lost in this Enron scandal? Thousands, yes, millions of dollars in their savings, in their investments, because of white-collar criminals. So those people should be told that they can't wear those criminal, those hood rat outfits. All right, so again, we need to be balanced. What I'm really saying is, if we're going to criticize people for the way they dress and says that that represents a criminal type of lifestyle, then we need to say the people that dress in the white collars and commit the white collar crimes, that they're just as evil and that their dress needs to be condemned. If we're going to judge people based on their dress, what we need to do is judge people based on their actions. And these white collar crimes are evil, and people that commit them need to repent of those sins that they are committing. They need to turn around and instead give to people generously, and not because it's their sentence that they have to do some good time to get a reduced sentence. It should be because that's in their heart, not to steal from people, but to give to people. Now God goes on to say another part of the gospel of Christ is he hates lying. God hates lying. I mean, that's just as bad. If you don't have trust, then really what do you have? If it's a matter of committing adultery, that means that a husband has lied to his wife. He has said, I will be faithful to you. And yet he's cheated on her. He's lied to her. He's broken his covenant. He stood before a number of witnesses and lie to all of those witnesses. If a person steals something, then they're lying. They said that they would come to work and that they would give to the company and that they would receive just wages. Well, if they're stealing something, they're receiving unjust wages. They've lied and said that they're going to only work and get paid a certain amount, and yet they're taking something that doesn't belong to them. So they're lying in that sense as well. So lying, if you are a liar, that means you cannot be trusted. If you say to your parents, if any kids are out there listening to my voice, if you say to your parents, Mom and Dad, I'm going to school now, and then you run off to a cut party, then you've lied. And how can your parents trust you once you've lied like that? Trust is so very important, and that's why God hates it. That is also an abominable thing in God's eyes. People who are braggarts, who are boastful, God hates that as well. People that are just inventors of evil things, they just have evil thoughts, like the supremacists that are, many of them are centered in Michigan, for instance, where they believe that America is only for a certain type of people, and they have this supremacy attitude, and they just invent all kinds of evil stories to tell against people, to cause others to hate a certain class of people, to make their own selves appear to be better. But all people have sinned. There are none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousness is as a filthy rag, and what God says about that, it's like a menstrual cloth. That's how dirty and nasty our righteousness is. Our righteousness is only as good as God's righteousness in us, which we accept by faith. And that is Christ's life in us, because Christ is the only one that kept the law perfectly, all of God's Ten Commandments in the letter and spirit of the law. So therefore, we must accept Christ's life by faith to be considered righteous. And that's what God wants to impart to us, is Christ's righteousness. And if we accept Christ by faith, then God looks at us as righteous. Our righteousness is nothing. It's unrighteousness. And so no matter what sin it is, all of us are guilty of sinning. All of us need to repent of our sins. And this is a part of the gospel that we should not be ashamed of, but we should be preaching boldly, because we love people who are sinning. We don't love the sin, but we love the sinner. We love them so much where we want to reach out and tell them, listen, you are doing something wrong that's hurting yourself. Even though it may seem good for the time being, it's going to hurt you, like smoking cigarettes. We can tell our loved ones, don't smoke, because smoking is going to hurt you. It can cause cancer. It can kill you. It can take years off of your life and rob you of good health. You're just wasting your money. It's just a stupid thing to do. And so, because it's damaging to people, if we love them, we're going to tell them to stop smoking. Well, that's the same thing with anything else that's harmful. If you love a person, you're going to tell them, this is harmful. Please stop it. This is a better way. That's what Christ is all about, is teaching us the right way to live, the best way to live, the godly way to live. Whereas the blessings are blessings today and tomorrow. They're not something that appears to be good today, and then tomorrow there's all kind of headaches associated with it. No, the blessings of God are blessings eternally. And so that's what we need to be following. Don't settle for something cheap, for something less. Listen to the gospel. Accept the words of God by faith as truth. Put them to the test. Live according to them. And you will see for yourself that this is the most blessed, the most wholesome, the most enjoyable way of life to live. Live according to the gospel. Well, thank you for joining me on this program. I hope you'll come back for the next program, where we'll hear more about the gospel, but a different aspect of the gospel. This is going to be about the gospel of the kingdom. That's in our next program. Again, thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.